Okay. Evening?
They had about...
Evening, when they decided to release you, yes?
Yeah, they had about... they invited every member that they could. They had about 60 to 70 men there. And half of them were drunk that evening. And they were all during the meeting. They went out drinking and coming back in and smoking and all that.
He brought big pails in his ashtrays just to spite John to show that they weren't going to give up smoking.
Just trying to make it rough, you know. And I'll tell you, I've never been shaking as much as I did that night. I went behind that pulpit there knowing what would happen, you know. I had a little pulpit there in the basement. And what?
Okay, let me ask some other things here as well. Do you know the beginnings of the old colony then, in terms of they ended up in Springfield where their church is now? Mm-hmm. Were they always there?
No, they were in what is the county called again? Bayham, in Bayham Township.
This Bayham was Township. Somewhere between Port Burwell and
Vienna.
Vienna, somewhere between there.
What did they have there?
They rented a
little school.
School, yeah.
Old school then.
From whom? Anybody in special?
I don't know whom they rented it from.
That was before your.
They rented it before we were here. That was right in the beginning. That's what. Where they started.
59, 60.
Yeah.
And how long were they there? Do you have any idea?
Quite a few years.
I would say about 4 years, maybe.
More than that.
4 or 5 years. Well, see, it was 8 years when we started. I would say about 4 or 5 years. And then we bought this church here. With
Springfield. So that would have been
64,
maybe? They bought it
65? 65.
Something like that. When did Walsingham start? Do you know?
That started after
we left the church.
After we left the church, yeah.
So, within the last 10 years then?
Yeah, within the last 10 years.
When was the bishop, the first bishop elected here?
That was also after our time.
That was after you left.
Yeah, about 2 years after that, about seven, about 8 years ago, maybe.
Somewhere around there.
Okay.
But
you don't know anything about the man?
Yeah. Oh, the bishop.
Mr. Henry Reimer.
No, not really. I know him when I see him, but he was elected after.
No, we don't know.
After our time, I don't know him personally.
Where was he living then?
In the Leamington.
Yeah, he was in the Leamington area, so you never got to know him.
No, never got to know him.
was the Wheatley group there already functioning when you were pushed there?
No.
There was a small group, yeah. Mm-hmm.
They had already.
Yeah, started. I remember the books. Remember, I had all the members in there. Yeah, it was functioning
the
already.
Members too.
Yeah.
So it's the Forster then keeps the membership books?
Yeah.
Who's the first editor today? Fred Frankel.
Who is it?
I don't know.
I'm not sure. Okay. At the time when we left, there were about 800 members between Leamington and this church here, according to the books.
Yeah, okay. There was a man named, let me check if you know this person, a man named Jacob Giesbrecht.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell me about him?
Yeah, he was, just before we got saved, about a year before that, he was very open. And
67.
Yeah, he was very open. He started to work in church. He could see that that our church was a darkness. And
where did he come from?
He comes from Mexico, too.
When did he come?
He came a year after we came here, 61.
Where did he come from? What part of Mexico?
He comes from the new colony.
Okay. Was he officially involved in the church there?
No.
Just
in Mexico, I mean?
Yeah.
No.
Okay. Okay, so then he came in 61?
He came in 61,
and then,
yeah.
And then began to fellowship here with the old colony.
Right.
Did he have an official position here then eventually?
No, no, he was just, not at that time. He's
yes.
He's a minister now, yeah.
Was he elected here?
He was elected here, yeah.
Do you know when?
That I don't know either. It was
after we left the church.
Yeah, it was after we, that was about, must have been about 3 years after we left.
Somewhere around there, two or three.
So 70, 71.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that.
Okay. for the Springfield Church?
He for the Springfield Church, yeah.
Minister?
Mm-hmm.
And was elected and ordained?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then how long did he minister? He's apparently left the area, is that correct?
Yes, he is. He's in Walsingham, is he? The last few years we haven't heard anything about him.
Is he not ministering anymore?
I don't know.
I don't even know.
Oh, okay. I'll fill you in later. Just checking to see what you might know about the mail. Okay. Were you at all aware of some of the things that preceded the move to Seminole and that whole thing? Were you all do you know anything about that?
Not really. We know some of that, but
you weren't close in on anything.
No, we weren't close in on anything.
Okay. From your experience, what is the difference between the old colony church here in Ontario with the old colony in Mexico, if any?
I would say the difference is that they are much more conservative.
Who?
The Mexican colony, old colony people in Mexico. They are. They've got more laws, such as you're not supposed to drive a car or rubber tires on tractors, and
you're not supposed to dress fashion.
Yeah, you're supposed to dress old fashioned.
Let me ask, looking at the church today, let's say, for example, you visited Mexico within the last year,
mm-hmm.
correct?
Mm-hmm.
Did you get a sense of where the church is at when you were there and things they're saying? Can you compare that with what you're hearing today?
From the time that we know them up until now, you mean?
Let's compare. Right now, what I'd like to do is compare Old Colony in Ontario today with Old Colony in Mexico today.
Well, first of all, the old colony in Mexico has almost died out.
Well, no, we shouldn't say that. It hasn't almost died out, it's still there.
How much is there?
Not many ministers, but the people themselves are still...
Okay, well, what I mean is as far as the church is concerned, they still have some services. Some services.
Some. However, we don't know that... when we were in Mexico in November, we didn't get together with the old colony people because the relatives that we had, that we got together with, their summer relatives.
Oh, I see.
Our time was limited, so we didn't. So we heard a little bit about them from the summer folder.
And what were they saying?
Well, they were saying that also from the EMMC, like from our churches. EMC churches. Am I saying that right? EMC.
EMC.
Yeah.
They were out there, in Mexico.
They were filling us in on some of the things.
And what were they saying, that the church had died out?
The church was more or less dying out. They haven't got any ministers there. Yeah, they have. What have they got? One.
I'm not sure.
Anyway, they haven't even. There's a lot of churches that haven't got services on Sunday. If I remember correctly, they said there's four churches.
One minister.
They have one minister. So that would mean once a month.
What part of which colonies are?
The
Manitoba.
Swift and Manitoba, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The two
what
colonies.
What about your colonies?
I'm not sure about that.
No, I don't know about them.
You have no idea about Durango?
Durango, yeah, we stopped in Durango, but we visited some people and the old colony, and they are.
Entirely
different. Entirely different. Yeah, they are still what the old colony people in Chihuahua province were 15 years ago or 20 years ago.
Still more conservative.
I would say they're about with old colony people in Chihuahua were 20 years ago.
In their ways of going at things, like the rules they have?
Yeah, rules and the way they dress and vehicles and everything else in every area.
Okay, now let's pick that up and bring it to Ontario. Can you make some differences between Chihuahua and Ontario? You've already said the clothing is not...
Yeah, I would say the clothing. They still dress more old-fashioned.
In Mexico.
In Mexico, yeah. And there's still a lot of them that don't drive cars and trucks. However, there's a lot of them that do. More of them. I don't know, percentage-wise, I don't know how many. But there's a lot of them that drive cars and trucks.
Also, with the excommunicating...
they've done away with that.
Where? Here?
In Mexico.
Well, in Mexico.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They don't excommunicate much anymore.
Hardly, no.
Do they do it here?
No, they never have.
They say
they release them, but they don't excommunicate them.
Oh. How does that happen?
Well, I guess they all got so fed up of the excommunicating business that that's why they, in the first place, came to Canada, most of them. And they just don't want to do that anymore.
They got so bitter against that, you know. Because it was done the wrong way, and now they go extreme the other way and don't do anything at all, it seems to me. But during the time that we've been in the Old Colony Church here, it has never come to a question, even.
No.
Because I don't remember, there was never practice, you know, even let's say with an alcoholic or with anybody living in a morality and sin, any kind of sin. I've never experienced that they deal with them. Do you remember?
No, I don't ever remember.
Was there between, or was there a close connection then between the Manitoba Old Colony and Ontario here then, is that correct?
Yeah, that was
What did you notice, what did you pick up from that when you were with attitude, what was the connection?
Well, I say there was a close connection. However, what happened twice a year, the Elster from Manitoba, Bishop, would come here and serve with communion and with baptism and so on. That was about all. And if we had problems here, that we would go back to them and so on. They would try to help this church along in that way.
But otherwise there wasn't connections otherwise, really.
No, otherwise there wasn't.
The bishop would come in and ordain the bishop here.
Right.
And that was done again recently with Mr. Queer. Right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They came to Ontario about two times a year. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, twice a year they came.
And how did the people here feel then? As you said earlier, there was the old colony Manitoba were not recognized very well, or were not recognized in Mexico, but here they would make use of that. Did that not give difficulty? Did people not like or feel funny about that here?
No. See, the people, the old colony church here is not recognized by the old colony in Mexico.
Okay, but didn't the people feel strange doing that, or?
You mean to the Manitoba?
Well, did the people who came here from Mexico feel strange suddenly recognizing the Manitoba Old Colony?
No, because most of the people that came from Mexico, they were already fed up there with the church. This is usually what happened, not so much anymore. They come for different reasons, but I would say the first 10 years, usually there were people that got fed up there because of the church regulations. they were ready to accept something else.
Were most of the people been aware of the non-recognition of the Manitoba Old Colony by the Mexican
Yeah.
Old Colony? they would know about that.
Yeah, they would know, they know about that.
Okay. So it wasn't that they were ignorant about that slip there? Or
no, they knew about that.
Like before they leave Mexico, they realize they are really condemned by the old colony Mennonites if they come to Canada. So therefore, they were condemned there already, and knowing they were condemned, they were ready to accept something else.
Now that you're here in Canada, I could check one thing with you. One of the big problems all along has been the whole problem of education. I think you probably would agree that that one of the big reasons why the Mennonites left Manitoba in the 1920s was because of the schools, right?
Mm-hmm.
What's your feeling now here? You've had boys in school here. Are there problems? How can you handle them? Was the church right in moving out, or wrong, or what do you think about this kind of question?
Personally, I don't think they had a valid reason to move out, because this is my personal feeling, the way I see it. They have maybe they've gained on one area, but they've lost in another area.
What area would they have gained? Possibly have gained.
Not sure where they've gained. But as a whole, I don't think they had a valid reason to move out, because it shows up now and 98% of the people, their lack of education, the lack of opportunity that they've had.
I believe some wonderful gifts in these people that are in Mexico and that have come here, and some of them, but they haven't had any education, therefore they can't work out these gifts.
I believe that the parents that moved out, they have deprived their children from getting an education, and that personally I've got a problem to accept that.
When you say you have a problem to accept that.
Maybe I should explain it. I can accept that. I know I don't hold that against the parents.
Oh.
You know, but I believe that the parents have, like you said before, they've deprived their children from getting a proper education. And many of them, I would say most of them, probably don't realize it to this day what they've done, because they haven't had a proper education themselves, and therefore they don't realize what an education, a proper education, is really worth, what it can do.
Okay, and you're now yourself making up for it by going to school.
Yeah, trying to, as much as I can.
You're going to get your high school by the time you're finished?
Yeah.
Is that the idea?
Grade 12 by the end of the year I should have.
Okay.
During the time that my parents were in Manitoba, I went to school there for 3 years.
Public school,
and I got up as far as grade 5, and later on when my parents, when we were married, we were here in Canada, I went to Panther College and finished grade 8. That's where
I think our church, even our church here now, is still suffering very much because
the
EMMC is suffering very much because of that, and I think they always will.
Talking about EMMC, when you left the old colony after you were no longer pushed there, then you began right away to go to the EMMC on a basis?
Yeah, right away.
What was your involvement then?
Well, at first, the first month or so, I don't think we were involved. We were just attending. I think it was about a month after we started there, we became members.
Mm-hmm.
Something
and
like that.
We were doing a lot of studying ourselves and took up a lot of books and took back to the Bible, correspondence courses, and to the church. And they taught the ETTA, we went through that. And
Evangelical Teachers Training Association, their training course. You took that right away then too?
Yeah, we took that shortly after.
Who was the minister here when you...
Dave Friesen.
Changed. stay frequently then? Mm-hmm. Okay, and then how long was it till you became actively involved?
Well, I would say, well, there was the first election. About 3-4 months, maybe.
What did you become?
I became an usher, and that wasn't the first election that I became a church board member. Second year, about a year and a half after we were here, I became a member.
That would be 1970. 1969,
you left
the old colony?
69, mm-hmm. I would say 1971.
71.
At the end of, beginning of 71, yeah.
And then you also became Sunday school superintendent?
Yeah, first Sunday school teacher for a while. And then...
How long? Several years?
For a couple of years, yeah.
And then you were superintendent?
Became Sunday school superintendent, yeah.
And then you were elected to the board?
And I was elected to the church. I was elected to a church board before I became Sunday school superintendent.
Oh,
yeah.
And then you were stayed on the board as you while you were Sunday school.
Yeah,
as well.
Yeah, right.
And I was Sunday school teacher and also doing things in the
aid.
No,
ladies aid.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
No, when we came, when we left the old colony church, we by that time we knew already what this church was like. We got what we needed for our spiritual life.
The way I see the EMMC now, our church in Aylmer, that particular church, I think it's in trouble right now. And it has been for quite some time. There's new people coming in from Mexico that we have to minister to. They haven't had the education they should have. And they haven't been Christians very long. And I think they're catering too much to the people that are coming from Mexico and not enough to the people that have been born here and those that are raised here. There's a culture barrier. And the people that are coming out of our church that are getting spiritually equipped with the Word of God and go to Bible school and so on, well, they have to leave our church because, first of all, there's the culture barrier, and there's a lot of German where they would like to have their kids being taught in the English language because they understand it that much better. And some of the people that have been brought up here, they feel out of place in that church. And the people are just going to leave, and meanwhile, this church is staying at a lower level.
That has been a problem all along, has it? Or
I think it has been a problem all along, really. It has been going up and down, probably. At one time it was pushed more towards the higher education level, and then other times it has been catering more to the people.
Did that depend on the minister a lot?
I don't know. To some extent, I guess it would, naturally. Not only that, but the whole ministerial. I would say it's...
From within the church?
Within the church, yeah. Or ministerial from in the church, yeah. Yeah, it's. I think it's a problem of the local church.
Yeah.
And at the present time, there's a lot of people that have been serving in boards and so on, and that have had more training. They're very displeased in our church at the present time. However, there is no they don't rub together, you know.
The group who are more educated are on a different wavelength, and they're working on different things than the other.
Yeah.
They're not.
And they're still working in harmony, as far as that goes. That's what I was looking for, the word harmony.
Oh, I see.
Even though they're very displeased in the church, but there is still harmony, but they're talking about leaving. Mm-hmm. And they're not.
Well, you were involved, or you know about there was a start of an English church.
Mm-hmm.
When did that begin?
It began
the offshoot off the EMMC.
Yeah. 1973.
And was the minister called in immediately then to help there, or what happened?
Abe Fair was in charge for the first while.
Abe had been with the MMC for a while.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Did he come from Mexico?
He came from Mexico, yeah. But he went through Bible school.
Breakfast.
And he was very active in our church for a number of years.
Which Bible school did he minister?
I said Broad Crest, but it's not true. It's
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and he was the first one then, and
he was
they
the first
began
one,
to
yeah.
meet separately as English group.
Yeah.
So that what year was that again?
73.
73, yeah.
Okay, and then how long was he one who was?
See, that was the time we were in Bolivia. In the meantime, at that time, the church started here the first Sunday after we left, and I don't know how long he was in charge until they called Neil Zawadzki.
Okay.
I'm not quite sure how long.
Were you home when the Zawadzki group split off?
When they split off, yeah, that was shortly after we came home.
Okay, so how long was Neil with the church before it split off?
About a year and a half, something like that.
I would say it split off in 1975,
towards the end. 76, yeah, I guess.
Toward the end of 76?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, something like that.
Okay. Can you replay, give the reasons why they split off?
Because of difference of doctrine.
That Neil brought in. And also there was this... I always think it was a very bad attitude, and it was a holier than thou attitude.
As a part of the English group?
Yes.
As opposed to the German group, you mean?
Mm-hmm.
See, what the reason for the split, well, I think it already started before the church even started. Before the English group started. The friction was already there.
What was the friction?
That was because of different doctrine.
Also, they didn't like Mr. Giesbrecht.
That's what it started, and
Mr.
Giesbrecht was disliked, yeah. And that all brought it to that.
So there was they sensed a lack of dynamic leadership as they wished to have.
Yeah,
that's
right.
That was the problem in the first place, yeah.
And then doctrinally, what areas were they arguing about?
They were very strong on eternal security and very strong on immersion baptism only.
Mm-hmm.
And... what else was there? Well, those were the two things, the main things. I don't blame only the English church for that. At that time, I think both churches were to blamed when it started. The problem that they had before they even started, before the English group started, that was within the church, and that was from both sides.
There was a doctrinal problem.
A doctrinal problem, yeah.
And
a disagreement of leadership and so on.
Was there not at one point a change in leadership, or at least supposed to be a change, and it didn't happen, or something?
Yes.
Or
yes.
How did that work?
We were not here at that time.
It happened during the 2 years we were in Bolivia.
Yeah. Most of the problems happened during the time that we were gone, fortunately.
Mm. And the that's when the German or the English group then began to form. Was that initiative to form the English group? Do you know where that came from?
That came from right from in the church. Our church. We were here when that was when the church agreed, decided on that.
Okay. Were there several people pushing it pretty strongly?
There were several people pushing it probably strongly, but the idea of it was good, I think.
Who were the ones who were pushing it?
Well, I was one that was pushing for it. I should say we were one. I don't say that we really pushed for it, but we thought we saw the need, you know, to start an English church, because there were our church was filling up and so on. We saw the need for the English language, to have a church in the English language. And our church, we always had a problem with part of our church, some of the people didn't want so much English, other than not so much German. You know, we figured the church decided, well, if we start an English church, then we can serve both.